Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. I've been blessed already with what Brother Joel shared. And I think it's good to take that serious. He encouraged us this morning to spend time in the Word of God, even though it don't make sense. I truly believe that's the only way we can know God, is through His Word. That's what I believe. That's how we know Him. Remember, the disciples asked Jesus one time, they said, will you judge us at the last day? And He says, He would not judge them, but the words which I have spoken shall judge you at the last day. We have the answers in our book, in our Bible, about eternity. And different people were asking me this morning, how am I doing? How am I feeling? Well, must be Jolene told everybody or praying. Somebody was praying, I know that. But I'll just give you a little bit, not much. I didn't come to talk about myself. Come here to talk about Christ. Shingles beat you up pretty bad. I found that out. Never had them. Two of my sons had them. Gene, our oldest son, had them twice. But that's the first time I ever had them. I didn't even know what it was. And the doctors didn't find it. So Scott was over one morning, and our son, and so he's seen it on my foot that I had, but they're a little different. They stayed inside. They burn you up inside. They go after your nerve system. Has anybody here ever had shingles? Oh, yeah. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Did you have them, Tommy? I guess I forgot about that. Wow. My family must be under stress or something. I'm not sure. But anyhow, I'm doing better, and then they found some more things and ended up having a heart thing done, my ticker. And that was a miracle in itself. Doctor called last week. Actually, Martha called in because we didn't hear from the thing. They took me, put me in a hole and take pictures of my heart, and I hated it, hated every minute of it. I was always able to kind of fix my own problems, take care of myself. And never spend much time with a doctor. Took people there, visit people there, but I was never much for hospital and doctors. But I learned one thing, folks, this morning. I learned to give up. I had to trust somebody. And the heart doctor, when Martha called, it said, everything looks good. And then even I had an appointment the 2nd of October. And they said, I can cancel that if I want to. And so I thank you guys for praying, especially my family. I know it kind of shook them up a little bit because I was never sick much. And it's just the way it goes. I mean, you're going to have to learn to trust somebody. So thank you for your prayers. And I'm happy. I'm doing a lot better. And I'm happy for my health. I really appreciate it. When you're young, you don't think so much about it. But when you get older, if you have good health, you appreciate it. This morning, I had to think of what was shared all morning. And the first song that you guys led as went right along with it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. When I chose to preach this morning, there's five that were wise and there's five that were foolish. It's kind of a thing this morning I'd like to talk about. It's prepare our hearts to meet God. You know, and I think there's such a thing as being a lukewarm Christian, if you can call him a Christian. A lukewarm person. A person that is just kind of go along for the ride. Feel good, do good, whenever you feel like it. And if the sin shows up or something is appealing, you'll fiddle with it, you'll play in Satan's garden. And I think actually these were what the foolish people were. And I'd just like to read the first 13 verses and make some comments as I go. That's found in Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses. Matthew chapter 25, reading from the King James. The wise and the foolish virgins. Verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now think about it. Christ, I had to think what Joel said. You know, what do we put in the Bible? There's a lot of things, a lot of books that were not put in. But what should we put in? This is a story that was worthwhile putting it in. It's warning us. This has not happened yet in our life. But it's given us a warning what could happen, what is to come. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You know, Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. So that's the story. And it says 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. All they did is they carried a lamp. They had the lamp, but they, you know, everything is going to work out. Everything is going to be fine. We can borrow it from somebody, or we can maybe buy it later. Just kind of go slothful through this life, and that's kind of the picture I get from verse 3. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took extra along in case the bridegroom is going to be late. So we're going to need that oil. So they planned ahead for that very thing. While the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. It took them longer than what they thought, but then everybody kind of slumbered. Slumbered is like dozing off or tired, just kind of relaxing, taking it easy. And there was a cry in verse 6 at midnight. There was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Do we still remember this morning, church, that the Bible said in John 14, it says, "If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again." We don't know when he's going to come. It tells us that in this chapter. But he will come. Let's not forget that. If you forget everything else I said today, remember that Christ promised, the one that saved us, that he will come back. He will come. The cry was made at midnight. The bridegroom is around. He's coming. Go to meet him. All those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You know, for us that probably look back and remember the kerosene lamps, the way gone there, you know, when you turn it up, I don't know what kind of lights they had and stuff, but it kind of reminds me of this very thing, this kerosene lamp. You turn it up, you know, and sometimes you had to trim it because it was black, kind of burned, and it would smoke a little bit. My mom was very, very careful with that. We had to wash it off and then trim it, hit the clippers and trim that thing so it would burn nice and clean. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I was there. That's what the virgins did. They took their lamps, and the virgins, verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They wanted to be able, I believe, for the bridegroom to see them. They wanted light to shine. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out." Now this is what I'm talking about, a slothful walk with Christ. I wrote down beside this verse a choice. Choices that we have made, that we make. They could have brought oil, but they didn't. Jeff could have went back, and sometimes in life we could go back and we could ask people to forgive us. We could make our wrongs right. We could give somebody a new day to trespass against us. But we don't. We just wait. Maybe it'll go away. Time might heal it. It will, but it won't forgive. Time is not a forgiver, but it's a healer. Choices. We could have had oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. Another thing I thought about this right here, halfway down this verse 9, we're going to have to learn to trust Christ and stand alone. Another thing I thought about is a lot of times I've heard people say that, I know one time I talked to a guy that was trying to sell me some years ago. Then he was telling me about his dad was a minister, and this guy was smoking, and I think he was living kind of a wild life, maybe both sides of maybe as a Christian on Sunday and living for the devil for the rest of the week. That's just kind of the way I took him. But you know, he kept coming back and telling me that his dad is a preacher. It probably helped him when he was growing up, I hope. But I tell you what, folks, we have to learn when we come to that age of accountability is to choose Christ. Amen? We have to make that choice. Nobody can do it for us. Mom and Dad cannot do it for us. They cannot buy that oil for you and I. They can teach us. They can tell us. But you have to make that choice by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can do it. When Christ knocks on your heart, though, the Bible says that if you open it, personal, if you open that door, Christ will come in and he will sub with you and you with him. You would have to choose to take that oil. It is a choice that you make. Because what happens if you read on, but the wise answering saying, nay, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Maybe we get the idea those people were selfish. Well, maybe sometimes it would be. If you see a hungry person, you give them something to eat. If you got extra, you give them got two coats, give them an extra coat, teaching of Christ. If you have two, give one away. Here there was the end of the trail. This was the end of it. This is a type of Jesus returning that is going to be the end. But it says, go. Yea, rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Huh. That sounds like a pretty good idea, but remember, by messing around, goofing off in your Christian life, what happened? Let's look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Nobody likes shut doors. I don't like it either. Can't get in. Sometimes, you know, if you lose the key, you try to get in your house, you're trying to get in through your windows. Maybe you've never done that, but sometimes that happens in life. You don't have your key and you have to get in some other way. Well, Jesus made it in spiritual sense. He said, I am the door to the fold. He said, if you come in any other way, you're a thief and a robber. This door was shut. There was one door to this wedding. And they couldn't get in. Afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Open the door. Let us in. But he answered and he said unto, then he answered and he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. So what was the problem? Simple story is that they did not take enough oil. They did not pay attention. That is my encouragement to you today, that we pay attention, because none of us want to have this door slammed in our face. That's the end of the trail. We don't want that. It says, verse 13, it says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But he will come. Jesus will come in his great glory. He will come. The Bible backs it up. And he told the people 2,000 years ago that he is going to come back to take them home. Remember back in the time when he ascended to heaven? I always liked that story. Those men that watched him go. When the angels showed up, or these men with white apparel, it says in Acts 1, about verse 11. He says they showed up. And he says, why are you men of Galilee standing here gazing into heaven? As Jesus just kind of went up and a cloud come between them. And he said, this same Jesus will come back the way you've seen him go. And the thing of it is, they thought he was going to turn around and come right back. It's over 2,000 years yet. Now. And he still didn't come. But he told the church. He told there in John 14, if I go, I will come again. That means he is going to come back. Don't run out of oil, folks. I don't want to either. Keep your oil. Talking about a shut door, I'd just like to go to Genesis. We were in there this morning. And you know, when the flood, this already happened. This is also a type of the eternity, of the end of it. I just want to read a few verses here in Genesis chapter 7. And what blessed me here with this story here, growing up, my dad used to preach this message so often that it almost, growing up, I almost knew it by heart. And what always blessed me in the verse 1 in chapter 7, it says, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That is quite a compliment. And probably Noah probably didn't really know what he did, except he just trusted God. He was obedient. Then it says, and Noah, quoting unto all, verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that God commanded him. That is a compliment, as he obeyed God. That's in this chapter more than once. Then he went on in verse 11. It says, In the 600 year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Now what was interesting here, as he waited 7 days after Noah. It was 6 or 7 days that he waited for the rain before he shut the door, before the rain started coming from the wells and the springs from the bottom and the top down, the windows of heaven were opened up. Now, I understand that they didn't have rain before. They had like heavy dews. And I believe that Noah was being mocked, as people laughed at him. And because he preached and built this ark for 120 years, approximately. And some of you saw that ark, wherever it's at. Is it Tennessee? Kentucky. I know Jolene and Tommy and the children were just up there. And I want to see it sometime. It'd be, I guess it's quite a sight. But here it goes on. It says that all the animals went in like he told them. Verse 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark. Unto Noah into the ark, two and two of the flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Now, when they were all in, everything was done. Everything was done in order. And in they that went in male and female of flesh, as God has commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. There's twice now we notice that the door was shut. Now I understand when the door is shut, when God shuts the door, he will not open it again. That's the end of it. Grace has ended. Then as you read on, just I noticed as the water went up, I always wondered when I was a little boy, the birds could fly. I mean, how can the birds drown? Because they can fly. But if you look at verse 20, it says that it was verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Those are the high hills. And it didn't stop there. It says 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now we think about the mountains. You know, we know about mountains. I don't know, you know, how it was there, where the flood was. But it says that the whole earth was covered. You know, we got mountains in North Carolina, and we can see the mountains where we live on a clear day. But here it says it was 15 cubits. I did a little figuring. I'm not a real scholar at this, but we got a school teacher sitting here. I'm not going to ask Joel how high that would be, but I come up, see if I'm close. I come up, it's about 23 feet above the mountains. Maybe 7.5 yards. 15 cubits. So that's close. So it'd be anywhere from 20 to 25 feet. From the highest mountain, the water was that far above it. So where did the birds eat? Where did they rest? Where did they sleep at nights? And you know how long the water was on the earth? It says it was 150 days. That's 5 months, approximately. So where would the birds rest? When God shuts the door, it's over. You think about it. And the thing of it is, all of us have a soul. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's life is serious. Life is serious. We don't dabble with everything that the world offers. We need to learn to walk away from it. Someone said years ago when I was a young person, he says, people love to play around in Satan's garden, but they don't like the consequences he offers. That is so true. You need to think. What happens when you're all alone by yourself is really what counts. Today we're sitting here amongst Christians. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to be an encourager to all of us. It's easy to be in a Bible study and have good thoughts and good ideas. But I tell you, when you're all alone and you're tempted and you're tried is when it really counts. That's what I've found in life. The dark times when you think that nobody will ever know. Those is what really counts. Just take the life of Joseph. Man of God, and as a young boy. Now I want to give you some hope in the closing thoughts. One of my favorites, I have a lot of favorites. This Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, Paul's writing to the people there. Christ, the hope of glory. Got to remember what I read to the 10 virgins. We still have time. You may need to call someone, or you may need to ask for forgiveness. You may need to make some wrongs right. I like to start here in verse 9, in chapter 2 in Colossians. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, whether we realize it or not, people, when we were born with bad blood. I just told that to a guy that was out in my shop the other day, and he was talking about all the bad things that people are doing and the shootings and all different things like that. I says, whether you and I believe it or not, I says, we were born with some bad blood, weren't we? He just thought about it a little bit. And see, I didn't push myself away to the other people. I didn't look away from myself. It was an opening that I was able to testify for Christ. I says, you and I, we were born with a sin nature. We were born to get angry. We were born to lie, like Abraham. Maybe to not always say the whole truth. We were born to be mean to each other. We have that nature within us. That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ in us to think different, to act different. We need a new heart. Then our tongue will work a lot better. That's when we get the new heart. We only can get that through the blood of Christ. We get that new blood and that blood of Christ. And it says in verse 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10, people, take a hold of this. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power." You are complete in Christ. Complete. Think about it. We are complete in Jesus Christ. How can we say that? I'll come back to some of these other verses. But the verse 14, I remember when I first read this, verse 14. It says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us." Was there ever a day that you felt there was no hope for you? I did. I felt there was absolutely no hope for me. And I never killed anyone. I never did a lot of the bad things. Maybe it would be questionable. But I thought there was absolutely no hope by switching churches. This is what some people have told me when I was a young person. I want to tell you what, that is a feeling that there's no feeling like it. If you feel that there is absolutely no hope, no matter how good you are, you will burn in the living hell. I used to go to bed like that. I knew if I would die, I would go to hell. Here it is. When I found this verse, can you imagine what this means to someone that thought there was no hope? "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." His cross. His cross. He nailed my sins and your sins on his own cross. That tells me one thing, people, this picture of this verse 14, that he has done all the work. He gladly did it to set you and me free. We don't have to worry about if our sins are under the blood. If we confess them to Christ, he made it there in John. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And he will forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beautiful verse. Go back to verse 12. It says, "Buried with him in baptism." You've been baptized simply. Baptism simply means that you accepted Jesus Christ. Water baptism. Nicodemus says, "How can these things be?" I'm so glad he asked that. That continues reading on what that meant. "Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead." Let's read that verse 14 again. 14. "Blotting out the ordinance." Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I tell you what, folks, I got many, many miles from that verse. We sang this morning the last song. What a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. I hope you mean that. I really believe you do. I can imagine in my mind, but sometimes my mind takes a trip, spending eternity together. I know you. Nor our bodies will go to the grave. Spirit goes to God who gave it. but we will know each other, the Bible says, as we were known. I know most of you folks here. If I see you on the golden streets, I'll know who you are. Hallelujah. My encouragement to you this morning is to hold on. Trust Jesus. He's done it all. Finished with these thoughts when he was on the cross. I think the last time I read this too, I just jotted a few things down that just blessed my heart. I read over and over again. I just put a lot of verses together who Christ is. But I'll make it short. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." His name, when he was born by a virgin, was above every name. A lot of people use that name as a swear word, but it's that name that will save you from hell. It's a holy name. His name is Jesus. Every knee will bow to that name. The president of the United States to the slums of New York City. People will confess the name of Jesus. Every man, every woman will confess by that name. Emmanuel, meaning that God is with us. Jehovah. He's the bread of life. He's that living water that can gush from our bodies, from our soul, daily as we walk this walk in life. The living water. He's the Lamb of God, the blood that was shed for you and I to set you and me free. He is the great I Am. He is the first and the last. And you know that he holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. All power is given unto him. He is our God. He is the way, the truth, and life. There is no man will come unto the Father but through him. He bought us with his precious blood. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation, it says that there is going to be a vesture on his thigh that is written King of Kings in big letters and Lord of Lords when he comes. He will not come to be nailed to a cross. He will not come back to be spit upon. He will not come for that, but he will come home. He will come to take home the bride of Christ. He knows who they are. There'll be no slip-ups. Keep your lights burning. Keep your oil with you. Every eye, says Bible, that will see him. Every eye will see Jesus come. Every knee will bow before him. And know what it says in Revelation? It says that he is the light of that city. There's no need for a sun or a moon, but King Jesus is the light in that city. There'll be no more shut doors. There'll be no more locked doors, losing your keys, but there'll be no night there because Christ is going to be the light. And you know what, folks? There is no victory in our Christian life without a fight. There is a fight in life. And there is no victory without a fight. And someone read that verse this morning. It says, daily take up your cross. Somebody mentioned that. And I had to think that's so true. We have a cross that we take up daily. We take a cross. That's our cross. That's our cross. Every morning God's mercies are new. That's a cross daily that we got to take it up. But there is no crown without a cross. Jesus, it says in Revelation that when he comes, he'll be covered with many crowns. He endured the cross. Hang on to that cross. There is no crown without a cross. Things are not fair in this life. They're not. But there is victory. There is victory in every fight that you face. I really believe that. Thank you for listening this morning. And we love you guys. Fun to come here, not only to preach here, but I want to come here sometime just to listen to my son-in-law preach. But he called me or texted me last Sunday and asked me if I'd be interested. He said, no pressure. I don't know what was going on, but I'm here without pressure. Give Tommy a break. It's good to be here this morning. I tell you why, I love the Lord and I love you guys, okay? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your holy word that we can know you through the scriptures. Lord Jesus, there's no doubt. We believe that you're coming back to take home your people. Lord, just help us to be faithful until the end. Keep the oil burning. And carry oil with us in life, that we would read the Word of God, like we were encouraged by Brother Joel this morning to read, even though it don't make sense. Lord, if I look back over my life, and you know it better than I do, it does not make sense to me at all. Today, it's my treasure, because the Holy Spirit lives within it. Your word is truth. It gives us peace, gives us joy. For this service, Lord, I want you to have all the glory and all the honor, because thou art worthy. We thank you for your help. In Jesus' name I pray. It's not only today, but it's forever in your name. Amen. Amen.